Hi there. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the series titled, This Is That. Have you ever wondered about the Holy Spirit? Well, this sermon is for you. Pastor Carl and Pastor Henry share an amazing word about the Holy Spirit, the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's dive in and gear up for Pentecost Sunday.
Albert Einstein said an imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. So I don't know what you see, but I see incredible, ridiculous breakthrough. I see breakout. I see a move of God. What do you see? I see that. You know, that's why God gave you an imagination, not to waste it. He gave you an imagination so he, by his Spirit, could paint preferred pictures on your mind of what can be done through somebody who sold out to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Imagination doesn't look for evidence. It looks for opportunity. We're not looking for evidence. We're looking for opportunity. Wherever there's an opportunity, let's make God famous everywhere we possibly can. Amen? Amen? It's been a day. This is that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about this is that. I got so messed up in the first service. Sorry, I really did. And I got all messed up and I could only preach about half a sermon. So I got a sermon and a half for the second service. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Come on, let's just drink deeply and let the Lord speak to us. So we're doing a sermon series called This Is That. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Does anybody know why we're talking about the Holy Ghost? It's important. Very good. Julie Downey. It is important. It's really, really important. I tell you. The Holy Ghost, your best friend, whether you know it or not. The Holy Ghost is how you experience everything divine. It's through the Holy Spirit that you literally experience everything of God. It's through His friendship. It's through His abiding presence in your life. Any single spiritual thing that comes into manifestation in your life, it's the Spirit of God. You better make Him your best friend, because boy, oh boy, he's a good friend to have. But it's coming up. We're coming up to Pentecost in a few weeks. We're coming up to Pentecost. I'm going to preach on tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. That was crazy tongues. Can you believe that? People speaking in tongues. I think I spoke in tongues a bit today. I think I did. But I tell you, I love tongues because it offends our minds. You know, God wants to do a mind bypass and get to your heart to renew your mind. So sometimes it does some strange stuff. Glory to God, I feel Jesus. You feel Jesus? Acts chapter 2, this is that. This is that. What is this? What is this? This is that. What is this? You know, the move of the Holy Spirit has a context. We can see pictures. We can see things in the Bible that talk to us about how we can understand the move of the Holy Ghost. So this is that. So this series is a this is that. This is what you see. What you see, it was predicted a long time ago. What you see is predicted. I mean, we got it. We got context for this. We got promises to appropriate. God wants to do some things in and through us today that we have real pictures for. We got promises for. We got stuff to lay hold of. Verse 17 said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Amen. Amen. I looked up all on purpose. Looked it up. You know what it means? All. You know, if I said I'm going to make you all go out through that door and I'm going to shake all of your hands, that would mean not one person would miss a handshake because I would intentionally be sure that you all got a handshake. Now, here's what this is. All flesh is going to get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Even your puppy dog. All flesh. Pinch your neighbor. Them too. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. John the Baptist summarized Jesus' whole ministry. There's a whole reason he came. This is it. Let me summarize all the stuff he did. He did so much, but let me tell you, it all gets reduced to one thing. He came to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's it. And you know what, if you got a relationship with Jesus, you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, you have missed the whole purpose for His coming. If you're not whacked in the Holy Ghost and living out of the Holy Ghost and inspired by Him, every action, every activity, every word, every thought, wrapped in the Holy Ghost, you're not living under the purpose for which Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to give you a whole bunch of rules to obey and some behavior modification courses. Jesus came to do what you could never do. He came to give you the power of God from on high to pour it in your belly and transform you forever so that you could change the world. That's what it's all about. Hey, come on to church. We'll give you some sin management courses. You get whacked in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to avoid sin. Sin will avoid you. Get whacked in the Holy Ghost. Baptized, smeared. Leviticus 6:13 said the fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Where is the altar in the new covenant? Where is it? They had altars. Where is the new covenant altar? That's it. Put your hand on your belly. That's the new covenant altar. That's the dwelling place of God. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, pleasing unto God. You are. This is it. It's not over here. It's not over there. It's not somewhere else. You are. You are the dwelling place of God. You are. And because you're the dwelling place of God, just like every other dwelling place of God, you had to be baptized in fire. And fire fell at Pentecost because God said, the place where I'm going to live and dwell, I'm going to cleanse it with my fire. And the fire, and I'm going to take a new spirit, and I'm going to put a new spirit in you so I can fill you with my spirit. You're going to become a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new, because I will not put beautiful fresh oil in a dirty cup. Any dirty cups here today? Is there anybody dirty in the house of God today? Is there any dirty folks in the house today? Got some Kleenex for you. You can come up here and stick your nose into the concrete. Sorry, we don't have carpet. You can cry out your miserable self. That's not how it works. You can't fix yourself up. You can't clean yourself up. Here's the good news. I will put a new spirit in you. You will become a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come. And then I will fill you with myself. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Well, did it happen to me? Because I still screw up. You know what? Holy, pure, righteous people still screw up. You didn't make yourself righteous. You can't make yourself unrighteous. It's done. It's a mystery. That's true. That's really good news, isn't it? Because I don't know about you. I screwed up in the first service. I had some bad thoughts during the worship service in the second service. I was annoyed. And Jesus said, Carl, pay attention. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank God he found me. Thank God he cleansed me. I'm not a dirty cup anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am one spirit with God Almighty. I am flooded and saturated with power from on high. And he did it all. And he's still working, still working, still working on my unrenewed mind, still working on stuff where my stinking thinking still gets in the way. But me, Carl, absolutely pure, absolutely holy. Hallelujah. But you know what? The fire must not go out. Here's the amazing thing. You know how strong I am? I can resist God. Yeah. I can say, stop. We read it last week. Thessalonians says, do not quench, do not put out the Spirit's fire. I can choose whether I'm going to walk in the Spirit or not. I can choose whether I'm just going to go on now after that wonderful baptism and that wonderful, glorious indwelling of the Spirit. I'm still going to operate out of my fallen cranium. You got to choose every day. Say, I'm going to submit to the Lord every day. I'm going to walk with him, listen to him, enjoy him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Said, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49, he said, stay in the city until the Holy Spirit comes upon you and fills you with power from heaven. And a violent wind came from heaven and shook the whole place, and every one of them, tongues of fire, came and rested on each and every one. And the church was born, the new dwelling place of God was established, and we are continuing. He's building his church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So we're changing the world, each and every one of us, changing things. Amen? So we're not here waiting to get to heaven. We're here bringing heaven to earth. We are going to transform the world, every single bit of it, in the name of Jesus. Anointing, say anointing. Anointing. The anointing is the person, the power of the Holy Spirit working through humanity to accomplish a or the divine purpose of God. It is the unction to function. You need the anointing. Don't leave with Bible knowledge. Don't leave with the examples that I set for you. Don't leave with all that you learned while I was with you. Don't do a thing until the power from on high comes on your life, because it's not by might or by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so we got to walk in the anointing. We got to operate. We got to lean into. We got to walk in the smearing of God every moment of our life. Let it burn continuously. Don't let it go out. The fire's from heaven. It's not from you. And his fire will bring a breakthrough in every situation in your life. He's brilliant. He's wonderful. He makes me look like a genius every day. I'm not really that smart. I'm really not. But he'll make you look like a genius. Because when he comes, he will lead you into all truth. Amen? All truth. Are you guys still here? Are you still here? 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. I love this verse. Samuel was out looking for donkeys. Amen? Sometimes I'm out looking for donkeys and I found a touch of God. Wasn't looking for a touch of God, but it found me. I was out looking for donkeys. Saul was out looking for donkeys. And then he wondered, where are these donkeys? He said, there's a seer. There's this guy, Samuel. Maybe you can go ask him. Maybe he can inquire the Lord and find out where your donkeys are. So Saul went to the man of God and said, hey, could you help me find some donkeys? He says, I'll help you find some donkeys, but I'll tell you something else. I'm going to point you to your destiny. And sometimes you came to see a donkey. Hallelujah. I go preach in places sometimes. I say, you came to the service looking to see a donkey, but what you're going to get is your destiny. What you're going to get is you're going to get a move of God. You're going to get a touch of God. And he said, what I want you to do is you're going to go down this road, cross here over there, right near the Tim Hortons, take a left, and then boom, you're going to run into a group of prophets. Go, join yourself to them. And here's what it says. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be turned into another man. The anointing. Turn you into another man. Another man. You see, when Jesus stood there and the storm came, he said, shut up! He spoke to the storm. He did. Go look it up. He said, shut up. Shut up. And the storm stopped. It wasn't from God. It had nothing to do with God. It wasn't from his Father. It was trying to disturb the purpose of God that they were walking in. And when things try to disturb the purpose of God, you say, shut up. Yes. And it stopped. And then they turned around and said, I have never seen a man stop a storm like that. What kind of man are you? What kind of woman? It's like you're a different species. I've never seen anything like it. That's who you are. You're a storm stopper, chain breaker, devil chasing, kicking in the teether. You're a kingdom establisher. You're prospering. God's glory is on your life everywhere you go. It's unexplainable, the blessing on your life. It is unexplainable what you do. It's unexplainable that when you walk in the room, everything changes. It's unexplainable. You got in the elevator. There was a lady in a wheelchair. When you got to your 10th floor, she was standing up and she walked out with you. That's because what kind of person are you? I radiate health. I radiate life. You walk into a situation where it's broken and there's strife, and you walk in the door and the peace of God fills the room and everything changes. Charles Finney walked in. They wanted to take him to see this new plant. We do these things. We've got automation, and there's a new way of creating things. We want you to see this beautiful new plant we've built. He walked in. They opened the door to the plant floor. Everybody fell on their knees. One man, and all they did was open the door, and the presence of God messed with the whole place. He literally had to pray for each and every one before they could get back to work. He went to a meeting in one place. I think it was called Sodom. Went to this meeting in Sodom, had these meetings, prayed for people. They all fell out on the floor. They had to call him back a week later. He says, the people still can't move. He had to go back a week later and pray for them to get up. Today, when God walks in the room, everything changes. And you know what? You're packing. God doesn't go anywhere today except you take him there. I love where it says, David took Jerusalem and God with him. It's like David took Jerusalem and he took God there too. God would never get to Jerusalem unless David went and took it. There's areas in this world, in your life, in the sphere of your influence that you're supposed to take for the kingdom of God. And you can do it because, let me tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm trying to preach up here. A couple amens wouldn't hurt. You got this guy, got whacked in the Holy Ghost. I mean, he got changed. If I went and stood in front of a train, I would change. Something would happen. I'd look different. When you get whacked in the Holy Ghost, everything changes. Something happens. Let it happen and keep letting it happen. Get hit every morning over and over again. Get a fresh touch of God's glory. There's a fresh move in this place today. I hope you took it because it'll shift your whole experience. Things that you've wanted to change for a long, long time, God loosed the power of God in you to bring a shift in that experience. Believe it with all your heart. Loose it with faith and you're going to see transformation. All right, then Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes because there was an excellent spirit that was in him. Numbers 11:29 says, then Moses said to him, Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that he would put the Spirit of God on them. Now, here was, God said, Moses, it's too much. You're doing all this stuff on your own. Bring 70 people up here that we can share this anointing with. So two of the guys didn't show up to the meeting. They were still in the parking lot, and they got whacked in the Holy Ghost. They're in the Tim Hortons drive-thru, and they got whacked there in the Holy Ghost. And everybody said, that's not right. They didn't make the meeting. They shouldn't have it. And he said, oh, stop it. Stop fussing about whether they made the meeting or not. God wants everybody to be his prophets. See, God doesn't want to fill a few people. In the old covenant, God had to work with, he was upon people. He was upon a few people. He was working upon a few people to get stuff done. But in the new covenant, what's the purpose of the new covenant? That Jesus could baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. The purpose of the new covenant is so the Holy Ghost could get on every single believer, and we could, every one of us, give the devil a nervous breakdown. When the plane was landing in India, when I went there the first time, I said, wow, what's going on, Father? He says, the devil's handing Valium out to all the devils, because they're freaking out. I said, God, what are we going to do? He says, don't worry about it. Just show up. I'll mess with everything. Do you know who you are? The saddest thing in the world is that the anointed don't know they're anointed. That we walk around like mere humans. Superman lost his cape. Do you know the train of his glory that surrounds you? Do you understand the anointing? Judges 15, 14, I'm going to talk about Samson next week. Everybody picks on Samson. Samson screwed up. Samson did this. Well, Samson in the end, he killed more in the end than he did with his whole life. But Samson was misunderstood. He really was. I'm amazed at how God uses this awkward situations and awkward people. He gave us all these rules, and then you use people who break all the rules to do stuff. That bothers me sometimes. You call David a man after your own heart, and he was a mess. Bothers me sometimes. But you know what it shows me is that God works with people. He doesn't necessarily work with rule keepers. He just works with whatever he can get. He's more looking for faith than he is for fleshly performance. That was good right there. You should hashtag that one and send it on your ex. You don't do Twitter? Isn't that what it is now? It's X, isn't it? Hashtag pastor was awesome. Amen. Okay. Use your outside voice, Sean. Well, I'll tell you, Samson, it was more times said about Samson, he was filled mightily with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit came upon him mightily. It was said more about Samson than any other person in the Bible. And yet we say, if you want to know how to be a loser, let's study Samson. Look at what a goof off. We'll talk about that next week. Just a little commercial. Commercial. We get commercials on Prime now. How stupid is that? And now we get commercials in the middle of pastor's sermons. Where's the world coming to? Amen. Amen. You're anointed. Anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 3, chapters 3 and 4. Jesus was anointed. That man, Jesus, had no advantage over you. None. Jesus came and he was a man. You know why he came as a man? Because God set up the rules that nothing can be done on the earth unless it's done through a man. In fact, nothing super has ever happened in the world except somebody did something. God does nothing in this earth except a man or a woman agrees with heaven. That's what it's all about. And there's a lot of stuff God wants to do right now. And you know what? I'm really upset about some stuff. I'll tell you, well, you're in charge. Why don't you do something about it? You know, I'm voting for somebody different. I'll tell you, I'm never voting for them again. You're working in the wrong stream. Politics is a fallen, dead, demonic thing. We're the kingdom of God, for goodness sake. We're the government of heaven. You got authority over all that stuff. We still got to have it, but I hope they would just quit spending all our money and fill the potholes, for goodness sake. Anyways, that's about as political as I'll get right there. Don't even get me started, though. In my own space, in my own time, I'll tell you all kinds of stuff, but not up here, because we're being filmed. So anyways. But Jesus was, by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, he got baptized in the Spirit. It was like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was not a dove. It felt like a dove. The Holy Ghost isn't a dove. He's really sensitive. You know, if you do a bad thing, he flutter, 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 he leaves. He's not sensitive. The Holy Spirit is God. He's just like Jesus and just like the Father. He's not the weak one in the family. Oh, that was weird. I'm leaving. It felt like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It felt like it hovered like a dove, rested and entered into him. And he was filled and saturated with the Holy Ghost. Then the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. Then he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then he stood up and he opened the Bible and he said, I am anointed. You're anointed. You are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're anointed. You're anointed. In the first service, Cheryl talked about, smearing, meat and steaks with some oil and, bringing some lubrication to the oil. And she says, no matter what you do, that oil will always be there. It forever changes what you've mixed it with. And the herbs and the spices, the things you've rubbed into that, it will forever change where it was applied. And the Holy Ghost will forever change you and forever touch you and forever be with you and forever present with you. John, 1 John 2:20 and 27, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. But as for you, the anointing that was sacred appointment, the unction to function, which you received from him abides in you permanently. So here's the important thing. You have an anointing. You have the anointing. You have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That Holy Spirit is on you. You didn't get a junior Holy Ghost, and you get the rest when you grow up. That person came into your life. Boom, he is there, and you are packing. And here's the other thing you need to know. It's there permanently. He doesn't come and go. Well, he's with me when I'm good, but he leaves me when I'm bad. He's especially there when you're bad. He's knocking hard on the door. What are you doing? Hello, this isn't God. He'll never leave you. He's right there. Whatever you're watching, he's watching it with you. And he's like, tap, 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 that little thing in your gut. You're going, this feels terrible. Yeah, that's the Holy Ghost going, can we turn the channel now? Hello? Hello? All right. This life, the life of the Spirit, is ours legally because of the blood and vitally because of our relationship with the Holy Ghost. It's ours legally. It's legally ours because of the blood of Christ. So when you become a believer and you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, the Holy Spirit moves in. All right? Vitally. Now, vitally means, you will never get more or less of the Holy Spirit. But the expression of it, the revelation of it, really does depend on revelation. Depends on your understanding. It's the saddest thing in the world that the most powerful in the people of the world are living like they're losers. Saddest thing in the world is to see believers who God, who created all things with a word, invested all of his ability in, and we walk around struggling with the stupidest stuff. Wow, should we rebuke everybody today? Holy Ghost, should we get out the Kleenex and stick your nose in the floor? This isn't like you can do stuff to be better qualified. You can do stuff to better understand who you are. It's not like you can check some boxes and then God will become more powerful in your life. You know what? Here's the amazing thing about God. God uses goofy people. God uses people that are actually doing evil. God uses people that are preaching on Sunday and touching people, healing people, all that, and they're going home watching strippers in the hotel room. And God still uses them. Even Peter, when he healed the guy at the gate, beautiful, they said, oh, you guys are awesome. Ooh, look at you guys. He says, hey, that didn't happen because of my piety. That didn't happen because I ascended to some place of purity. It had nothing to do with me. All I did was use the name of Jesus. But the charismatics and all us, we're one. We think that, let's climb the mountain. Let's get more beautiful and God will use us more powerfully. That's rubbish. You don't get used more powerfully because you strive to be perfect. That actually will get God to go, does that ever stink? That level of flesh over there is horrible. God won't share himself with some fleshly act. God moved because I'm awesome. Paul said, I'm going to tell you what God did, not me, what God did through me. Paul said, if I'm anything, it's the grace of God. Trust me. And it's all the grace of God. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't get our stuff together. And when you walk in the Spirit, you will get your stuff together. You really will. You keep walking with him, he's going to straighten some stuff out. He really will. And you should yield to him. You should pay attention. But here's the most amazing thing in the world. You can say no to God. Stop it. Not because he wants you to be more pure and holy, but because you're walking so below your privileges of what God could do for you. Hey, isn't this fun? Isn't this fun? What time is it? Oh, the thing says it's time's up. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to leave the rest for a bit. But listen now. We are anointed. The world needs what's in us to get upon us. It really does. It needs that to happen. You can't be more or less anointed, but you can have more revelation on the benefits of the anointing. Let me read that again. You can't be more or less anointed, but you can have more revelation on the benefits of the anointing, his person and presence in your life. You can also position yourself to be more effective in the flow and operation of the anointing. You can be more intentional. More intentional. Let me read you one verse, and I'm going to leave the whole half of my sermon out because it's Talladega at NASCAR today. And it's... Did you see how easy it is to step into the flesh? Did you see? I do that just for an example. I sometimes express a little bit of weakness just to show. Amen. I'm human. No, I'm not. I've got a very big cape. Supernatural. Let me read one verse. You ready? Read one verse. It's right here. It's 2 Kings 4, 1-6. I'm going to wrap it up right now. Say thank you, Pastor. All right. 2 Kings 4, 1-6. This is a woman. Her husband's a prophet. The husband dies, and they've got nothing. The creditors are coming. They're going to take everything, and they're going to take her two sons. So if you're a widow and your sons are gone, she's going to be desperate. So what do you do when you're desperate? You cry out to the Lord. She cried out to the prophet. The prophet comes. He says, what can I do for you? He tells him the whole story, and he says, well, what do you got in your house? And she said, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got a problem in front of me, Pastor. I got difficulties all around me. I got things going on in my life that they got to shift, they got to change. What do you got in your house? I got nothing. I got nothing to help me. I got nothing to change the circumstances. I got nothing to turn this situation around, Pastor. I got nothing. You got nothing? Didn't your husband, he was a prophet? Yeah. What about that little jar that he carried around to anoint people? Oh, yeah. I got that. So that is called a suk. Say a suk. Now that is a specific jar of oil that's used by a prophet to anoint. So what did she have in her house? Here's what she had in her house. You ready? Here's what she had in her house. Are you ready? Here's what she had. She had the anointing in her home. She had the anointing. What do you got? You got the anointing. And he said, shut the doors, get as many empty pots as you can, fill the place with empty pots, shut the doors from all the negative naysayers and all the nonsense, shut the doors, and you begin to pour. And wherever there's emptiness in your world, you have an anointing to bring a breakthrough. Wherever there's emptiness in your world, you've got an anointing that will fill that and will transform that into the very presence of God. You have. These are stories. This is that. What you got in you is that. Well, if you're in debt and you're in a place that's narrow and you're in a place that's hopeless, you are not alone, and you got an anointing that can bring a breakthrough in your life. So she took it, she poured, she filled all the pots. I want you to get one point before I let you go. You ready? Here it is, one point. It says, so the oil ceased. When there's no more emptiness, that's when the oil stops. So let me just say this principle right here. Demand determines flow. Demand determines flow. There are demanding things all around you. There are areas in your world that need a touch of God. There are emptiness, brokenness, and situations around you. Even things in your life that you are hoping someday it'll change. You have an anointing to shift that today. And he's pouring fresh oil in and through you all the time. You just pour the oil of God. You pour the anointing of God over those circumstances, and you're going to see an incredible breakthrough. Because I'll tell you know when the oil stops? The oil only stops when the demand stops. And I'll tell you, things are pretty demanding out there right now. And we have an anointing in this house. In this house. And if there's some empty space next door to us, then we better fill it. How are we going to do it? We're going to keep pouring the oil. And we're going to see a breakthrough in every circumstance.